Long ago, in the mountains of southern West Virginia, lived a man by the name of Lockie McLaughlin. Direct from Scotland he was. He and his wife, Laura, had come to the mountains to make a home for themselves and their family. They built a small log house. Wasn't very much at first. Just a small house enough to hold their growing family. There wasn't a loft for the children to sleep in. There wasn't a proper kitchen area, but it was enough. Laura had another child, and then another. And even when the 10th child came, Lockie McLaughlin held up the baby and said, "Oh, in this house, there's always room for one more. There's always room for one more." They decided to have a Christmas celebration and invite all of their family and friends. Lockie's brother and his family lived on the next ridge over, and they came with all their children. Laura's aunt and cousin, once removed, lived in another part of the mountains, and they visited too with their families. The families came in bearing all sorts of food, all-day green beans and fried chicken and ham. There was chocolate cake, and people ate and ate and ate. They laughed, and when more people would come and visit, they'd say, "Come on in, there's always room for one more. There's always room for one more." Travelers passing down the road would see the lights in the house and hear the merriment and glee and would knock on the door, and Lockie would say, "Come in, there's always room for one more. In this house, there's always room for one more." Four lumberjack coming down the road, having worked in the mountains all winter, saw the lights, and they came in too. "Come in," said Lockie. "There's always room for one more." An itinerant circuit rider preacher was walking down the road, not having made it back to the flatlands before snow fell. "Preacher Brown, come in the house. There's always room for one more." A carpenter, the miller, and a barrel maker too. Each one was invited in with as much hospitality as Lockie could muster. The people ate all the food there was to eat, and their bellies were groaning. But then the fiddle player started, and the banjo player started, and the dancing and the reels and the clogging began. The laughter rang out, and no one noticed this little house bulging at the walls, the rafters groaning, until suddenly there was a loud crack. Someone yelled, "The house is giving way!" People dove out of the windows. They jumped out the door. Preacher Brown skidded to a halt underneath the kitchen table for protection from the rafters falling about them. And when they stopped, they realized the house had fallen completely around them. No one said anything for a while. And then one of the lumberjacks called out, "Come on, boys, let's cut some trees. This man needs a new house." The carpenter got his saw and his hammer. Others got their tools, and the hammering and the shouting and the laughter started. Laura McLaughlin made a big fire, where she made a pot of coffee and cooked all night. She made a bed for the children under tents in the snow. They worked all night, into the day, into the next night. And when they were done, there was a fine log house standing there. Lockie McLaughlin walked in the door and looked around. It was twice as big as his last house, a lovely little loft for the children to sleep in, and a nice kitchen area for Laura to cook the food. "This," he said, "is a house where there will always be room for one more." From then on, anyone who visited the mountains of southern West Virginia knew to stop at Lockie McLaughlin's house. He would open the door wide and say, "Come in, come in. There's always room for one more. In my house, there's always room for one more."